Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the Feast of Tabernacles, and you know, the church is constantly growing and new people coming in all the time, and many people have questions about this. Now, I've spoken several times on the feast in the past, specifically over this time of year and why it's so important, but let me show you a few things this morning. And if you want to, you know, if you want to experience Tabernacle, you'll need to come tonight. Amen. So tonight we're going to talk about it, and tonight we're going to experience it. Amen. So I'm trusting God tonight that everything that we talk about this morning will manifest tonight. Is that okay? Amen. So you don't want to miss tonight. Amen. You know, you snooze, you lose. Amen. All right. The Feast of Tabernacles. The word feast actually means, the word feast in the Hebrew actually means a set time, an agreed time, an assembled point, assembly point. So really what it is, the word feast, what it really is suggesting is that it's a set time of God. So there are several set times, but I want to show you in Colossians 2, verse number 16, this is what it says. This is what Paul says about feasts. It says, so let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival, a new moon or Sabbaths, which are shadows of things to come, but the substance of Christ. Now he's saying there festivals, and he's talking about moons and Sabbaths and festivals, some of the traditions. Now he's saying, don't judge people regarding those things. But the reality is that it is a substance of Christ. Now we don't necessarily celebrate them the way that the Hebrew people do, because we're not under the law. Is that okay? But we still celebrate what the meaning is, and what happens and what takes place. How many of you know we are spiritual beings? Amen. As much as you are physical, the reality is you're actually more spiritual, or you should be. And the reality is, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done and this body no longer exists, you will only be spiritual. Is that okay? So it's good for us to understand spiritual principle and spiritual things. So when it comes to the tradition or the religious side of it, we don't partake in that. But that doesn't mean we don't want to get the richness of it. We don't want to get the meaning of it. And certainly, if there's a promise anywhere in the Bible, you better believe I'm going to grab it. Amen. Because I want to live an abundant life. Is that okay? So there are two sets of feasts. There are actually seven feasts in total. We're going to look at the three main ones. Now, a lot of the feasts actually take place, a lot of the other feasts take place around those feasts. So we have two sets of feasts, the spring feasts and the fall feasts. The spring feasts really represent the first coming of Jesus, and the fall feasts represent the second coming of Jesus. Now that's very important, and tonight you'll understand a little bit more about that. But the reality is, let me talk a little bit about the spring feasts. The Feast of Unleavened Bread and the Feast of Passover, which is around the same time, or the Feast of Passover. That's the first feast. That's the first feast we're going to look at. And that is one of the spring feasts. Now, In the Old Testament, they would take a male lamb and they would slaughter that male lamb. It would have to be a perfect lamb without spot or blemish. And that would obviously be there for sin. That would be there to take away your sins. Now, the first Passover, we all know the story. When the Hebrew people were in Egypt, they would take the blood and they would put it on the doorposts, and the angel of death passed over them. Amen. That's the first Passover. Now, our Passover, it comes through Jesus. Amen. So we also celebrate Passover, because how many of you know we now have a lamb without spot or blemish, but we don't have to kill any more lambs. Amen. Because our sins have been taken away. We are forgiven. Amen. We can go before him without having to slaughter anything, because the price has been paid in full. Amen. So that's Passover. And it's a very powerful feast. And I actually did a teaching on all of these. You can go and get it online. Where I really go in depth on all of this. But just to lay a foundation, I think it's important that we understand that. So that's one of the first spring feasts. Then 50 days later, we get the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost. 50 days after the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, the law was given on Mount Sinai. This represents Pentecost. That's the first Pentecost. The first Pentecost wasn't in Acts 2, like so many believers believe. They believe the first Pentecost was when the Holy Spirit came upon them and sat upon them and tongues of fire. No, no, no. The first Pentecost was at Mount Sinai, around 1,500 years before the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out. But you must understand that at Pentecost, even at Mount Sinai, God was wanting to do something. And that was, he was wanting to dwell with his people. He wanted to make a way for us to get close to him, for a way for us to be with him. So in the first Pentecost, we see that. We see him display his glory. We see him display his power. Moses comes down with lightning coming out of him, and the Ten Commandments and the law and the Torah really was given at Mount Sinai. It's very powerful. That's the first Pentecost. Amen. Then the Feast of Tabernacles is a completely different feast. It is a feast that is much later, and it is a fall feast. Now, it's very interesting that Passover and Pentecost are close to each other, and a lot of the feasts are around there. The other smaller feasts are around there, but Tabernacles is set alone much, much later. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go on today. Are you guys okay? Amen. The Feast of Tabernacle, or the Feast of Rejoicing. The reality is that Tabernacle is a time of great rejoicing, because Tabernacle is a time of restoration. Tabernacle is a time of new beginnings. Tabernacle is a very powerful time. Now let me go to Leviticus 23 verse number 40. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day of the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. For 7 days this feast will take place. Deuteronomy 16, 13 to 17. Let me lay it out for you. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacle 7 days, when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast. And you and your sons and your daughters, your male servants and your female servants, and the Levites, the stranger and the fatherless, the widow who are within your gates. This speaks of a congregation of people. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hand, so that you surely rejoice 3 times a year. All your meals shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. The fact of the matter is that we are instructed by God to proclaim the feast. Now, we don't do a 7-day celebration. What we normally do is we'll do a series of meetings. And I can tell you, normally those meetings are extremely powerful. So we don't do the traditional Jewish way or Hebrew way, but we still celebrate everything that God has said we should celebrate. We still honor him exactly the way we should honor him. And we also see the same results. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, let me prove to you that the feasts are for us. Leviticus 23, verse number 2. Now speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. These are my feasts. Everybody say, my feasts. Whose feasts are they? They are the feasts of the Lord. They are his feasts. They are his feasts, and we are supposed to proclaim those feasts. They are supposed to be holy convocations. In other words, they are supposed to be a time that is set apart, a special time, a time where we honor him. Amen. And that's exactly what the feast is. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't say that these are the feasts of Israel. It says that these are the feasts of the Lord. Are you of the Lord? Then they're your feasts as well. Can you say amen? Now, you see, when you have a revelation of what the feasts really are and what they mean, when I tell you that they're your feasts, brother, you should jump up on that chair, twirl around, jump around, and jump down with such excitement, because you'll understand what actually takes place. You see, the biggest problem with the church is exactly what was said, that my people perish because they have a lack of knowledge. because we don't understand the power of what the Word of God is saying. Oh, it's Old Testament, you know. Hoo-ha. It's Old Testament. I don't need it. Yes, brother, you don't understand the richness of the glory of God hidden in the Old Testament. We are not under the law. But brother, let me tell you something. If there is something in that Old Testament that is going to change my life, make my life better, connect me closer to God, you better believe I want every single part of it. And the fact of the matter is that the Hebrew people and the church are so closely related. If that's not true, then you are not the seed of Abraham. Oh, but how can you say that, Pastor Alex? Well, you don't like the Old Testament. But I am the seed of Abraham. But you don't like the Old Testament. Come on. You can be ugly and do something about it, but stupid is forever. Amen. They are the feasts of the Lord. They are our feasts. So what do we need to know about the Feast of Tabernacle? One thing we need to understand is that the Feast of Tabernacle will not only... Now watch this. Will not only be celebrated now, but will also be celebrated in the millennium reign. So in other words, it was celebrated in the Old Testament. It is celebrated now, and it is a feast that will pass through into the next age, which is the millennium reign. So when we have all been raptured and we all go to heaven, most of us anyway, amen. Everyone in this room, I don't know about all of you online, but everyone in this room, we all getting raptured, amen. That guy that keeps on sending me hate stuff online, I don't know about you, brother. I don't know about you, but I'm praying for you. Amen. 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 Man. I don't know. I'm not behaving. I apologize. That's all this building. It's Mike, it's your fault. Okay. Amen. So we see that the feast will pass through. Now, let me give you the scripture. Zechariah 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Yes. So the Feast of Tabernacles will be celebrated in the millennium reign. If you don't know what the millennium reign is the 1,000-year rule that will take place once Jesus has come back. He'll come back, he'll rule in Jerusalem, and for 1,000 years he will rule. Satan will be locked away, and we will rule with him on earth. Amen. And we will be here, and once a year, we will go up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Man, I could misbehave now, but I won't. Amen. All right. Now, it's very interesting that if you study scripture, you'll find that the Feast of Tabernacle is given the most attention by both the major and minor prophets. In fact, it's given more attention than both the other two feasts combined. Why? Because there's another generation, which is us. So there's something that still is going to take place. There's something that's going to happen with this church when it comes to Tabernacle and understanding the fullness of what Tabernacles represents. When the church finally gets that revelation. And listen, I don't believe I have the full revelation, but I'm getting it. Amen. The more I get it, the more I get excited. Because I realize what God is saying. That's very powerful. Amen. It's really powerful. Amen. Now, it's very interesting. The Feast of Tabernacles is also known as the Feast of Booths. In Hebrew, it's Sukkot. And actually what it is what they do is they build these little booths. It's kind of like a wooden frame, and they make it out of different materials. And then the top, they have put like leaves on it, but it's open so you can see through it. And they go into those little booths, and they celebrate, and they worship, and they thank God. They give thanks to Him. And it's actually amazing because a lot of the Hebrew people that are still, you know, really, you know, take this stuff seriously, they still do it. So even in New York City, on the tops of the rooftops, you will still see some of these booths, believe it or not. And it's really beautiful to actually think that they still do that. Amen. So this is something that they've been doing for generations and generations and continue to do. They continue to build these little booths to go in there and to worship. Now, Exodus 25 verse number 8 says this. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. That I may dwell among them. You see, God has always wanted us to be connected to Him, to build a booth, to have a sanctuary. How many of you know the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us? Amen. So we are that booth. We are that tabernacle. It's inside. He tabernacles with us now. Amen. On the inside of us. It's extremely powerful. Now I want to show you. Let's go to Matthew 17, verse number 1. You'll see how Peter, and many of us have read this before and thought Peter was a little bit loony, but actually he wasn't. Watch. Matthew 17, verse number 1. It says, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make three tabernacles. Let us make three booths. That's what he was saying. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. In other words, we want to honor you. We want to worship. We want to praise. We're so excited, Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. This is a very special moment. So Simon Peter wasn't confused. He was actually trying to honor. Amen. When I read that when I was younger, I used to think, what, this guy's crazy. Okay, amen. Now those are the booths that we're talking about. God has always wanted to dwell with us, to be with us, to have relationship with us. I don't know about you, but I'll do whatever it takes. I'll go build a little hut outside if I need to, if it's going to help me get closer to God. Now, I don't need to do that, amen, but I would do it if I had to, amen? Amen. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:19, we all know this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. Oh, so we are now the temple. He dwells inside of us. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't celebrate what He's done. Listen, if you want to get God's attention, remind Him of what He has done for you. I promise you, if you want to get His attention, if you've sinned really bad, brother, go into your room and remind God of His goodness and His mercy towards you and all the times He was there for you and everything He's done for you and how you got up and you carried on. Remind Him of those things and you'll see Him restore you so quickly. You'll feel the presence of God again. You'll feel restored again. When you remind God of His goodness, it gets Him all excited. He likes to hear about how great He is. He is not a man. He does not lie. Pride does not exist in His vocabulary for Himself. Come on, don't get confused. As I explained, if we were under the law, we would do this. We would build booths and all that, but we don't need to do that because we celebrate the spiritual significance. We have the Holy Spirit, so we celebrate the spiritual significance of it. Amen. Now, what takes place? What took place? What took place? What were they celebrating? They were celebrating their protection in the wilderness, their provision in the wilderness, their provision, their protection, their food, their shelter. They were completely dependent on God, especially during that season. Can you say amen? Yes. Now, let me say something to you here real quick. The feasts represent three realms of the supernatural. Passover is faith. Can you imagine the original Passover? For you to go and paint blood on the wall? How many of you know that the only way you know you are saved is by faith? So Passover, or accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Lamb that died for you, requires faith. Amen. On the day of Pentecost, which is the second feast we celebrate the anointing. The anointing is when the Spirit of God comes upon you. He anoints you. He consecrates you. He sets you apart. What does that mean? That means He sets you apart to do the work that He has called you to do. To step into the function of what He has for your life. He has now anointed you. He has separated you. He has prepared you to do what He does. That's why the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Listen, the goosebumps and the warmth and all that, it's all great, but that's not the purpose of Him coming upon you. The purpose is so that you will step out and do something. Can you say amen? So that's what Pentecost was for. Now, tabernacles is the realm that the church has not been operating in, and we need to step into that realm. It's the realm of the glory of God. It's the realm of the glory. Why? Because when you start to recognize that you can't do it on your own, like the people in Egypt, when they came out of Egypt, the Hebrew people, and they went into the wilderness, how are we going to eat? And God provided. How are we going to make it? And God provided. How are we going to get water? And He strikes a rock. How are we going to get bread? And bread is there in the morning. It is the supernatural realm. It is the realm of the glory. You see, the anointing requires you to do something, but the glory doesn't require you to do anything. The glory is the realm of supernatural provision. Amen. You see, in the glory, there's no lack. In the glory, there's no sickness. In the glory, anything can happen. You see, when I pray for you, that's the anointing. But when the glory falls, you can be in your seat and God will heal you. You see, when the glory comes, when the presence, when the kabod glory of God, which comes in, and you can feel it sometimes when you're worshiping. When that it comes, it hovers. It's right here. And then God is waiting for somebody to say, I want it, Lord. I trust you, God. I know that my provision comes from you. I know that this world's economy does not apply to me. I know that Lord, that even though it looks so bad, I know that you are supernatural. I know that I mustn't put my trust in man. I must put my trust in you, because you, Lord, your ways, your character, your abilities, Lord, they far supersede anything that is possible, anything that I could do. That's the realm of the glory, and that's what tabernacles represents. Can you say amen? Getting to the place of recognizing supernatural provision from God. Something happens in the heavens. They are celebrating that supernatural, the supernatural glory. Can you imagine what it must have been like to wake up in the morning, open your door, go outside, and there's all the manna? And listen, we upset, we need some meat, and then He sends some birds for meat. I mean, come on. It would be like me waking up and going and opening the fridge, and there's a nice big T-bone steak. Amen. Yeah, tell you. Amen. I know Larry would like a cheeseburger, right, Larry? Yeah, amen. Amen. Well, actually, probably protein bar or something like that. I don't know. So what they would do, they would celebrate God's supernatural provision. Supernatural provision. When you begin to understand the power of God, the character of God, when we talk about the glory of God, we talk about His ways, His character, who He is. And when we start to truly understand that, then the anointing, which is necessary, and Passover, which is necessary, salvation, those are so necessary. But there are most Christians don't move from Passover to Pentecost. Most don't. They really don't. In this hour, we're starting to see a great outpouring of the Spirit, where God is beginning to touch people and change them, and that's the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see people encountering God. But so much of the church is still in that place. When God wants us to go further, He wants us to go deeper. He wants us to rely on Him. You see, one of the beautiful things about Sukkot is that it's a time of rest. In other words, now I recognize God, that actually, even though I'm doing everything and doing this, at the end of the day, it's up to you. At the end of the day, that miracle is up to you. I can't do anything. You have to do it. Can you say amen? Listen, when it comes to the anointing, I'll pay the price. I'll fast, I'll pray, I'll do whatever it takes, Lord, to get closer to you, to draw near to you. But when it comes to the glory, it's not up to me. All he's looking for are those who will put a booth around themselves, go down on their knees and begin to worship him, because he's the God of all creation, because he is the Almighty, because all things are possible through him. And in that place, when you get that revelation, when you recognize and realize that there's nothing you can do for the glory to come except worship him, except say, Lord, here I am. I recognize my weaknesses. I recognize my shortcomings. I give it all to you. And then he says, right, now watch me do it. Come on, somebody. Amen. It was only supposed to be like this tonight. It was supposed to be just teaching this morning. Amen. See, I just love God. Because he even changes my sermon while I'm here. Now I'm trying to find my notes. I've got no idea. You see, tabernacle represents new beginnings. Tabernacle represents the devil must pay you back. I didn't even think about it last week. I realized this yesterday while I was preparing. I realized that, you know, 7 days, we were right there at the beginning of tabernacle last week when God said, I'm going to make Satan pay you back. I'm going to make him give you back. You will be restored. Can you say amen? We didn't even know it. We were in tabernacle already. Amen. I think that's awesome. It's okay. If you weren't here, it's for you as well. Amen. Restoration. Restoration for you. The devil must pay you back, brother. He must pay you back. Not in the next world, in this world. While you are here on earth right now, he must pay you back. And listen, if you at the end of your life, he must pay you back with your children. He must pay you back everything he stole from you. Everything you had to go through, he must pay you back. It's this time of the year, it's this season that you can stand up and say, God, you've been my provider. You've got me this far. I remember what you did. I remember your restoration. I remember your provision. And now, Father, I pray that you make all things new. That you make all things new. Lord, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. In this hour of restoration, in this hour of Sukkot, we recognize, Lord, that we cannot do it on our own, that we need you 100%, Father. Only you, Father. And your presence is here right now, Lord. Your presence is in this place right now. Father, we give you thanks and praise for it. And if you're sitting here this morning and you say, Pastor Alex, I need to be restored. I need to be restored this morning. Just lift your hands and say, Father, I know that you are my provider. I know my provision comes from you, Lord. Lord, right now, I'm not going to think about my anointing. I'm not going to think about my abilities. I'm not going to think about what you can do through me. I'm going to think only about you. I give you thanks, Father, that I'm not dead, that you brought me this far, that I'm still here, that I have a tomorrow, and that tomorrow is because of you. And during this tabernacle season, Father, in this place right now, restoration will come, healing will come. Yes, there will be many that will be healed, even your family members that are in their beds in hospitals right now. I speak healing to their bodies now in the name of Jesus. They don't need me to go lay hands on them. They need the glory of God to come upon them right now in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we recognize your glory. We recognize your provision in this moment right now. If you don't know Jesus, give your life to him now. Just say to him, Lord, I give my life to you now. If you're lukewarm, say, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to serve you with my whole heart. Just do it right now where you are. I don't even need to see your hand. Just give your heart to Him this morning. Give your life to Him this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank You. Lord Jesus, we worship You. Lord Jesus, we exalt You. There is none like You. There is none like You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And devil, you who lies and kills and destroys, you that desire to come and point the finger, you, the accuser of the brethren, we take authority over you this morning in this place, and we bind you. We break your power over every one of these in this place. This is the hour of restoration. This is the hour the church has been waiting for. For we will be a bride that will be prepared for Him. We will be a bride that relies on Him. We will be a bride that adores and worships Him. Yes. So Satan, you must go. You must pay these people back in Jesus' precious name. Now somebody give Him a shout. Somebody give Him a shout. Hallelujah! Yeah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, Jesus. Yes, yeah, sing that, sing it. Let's sing it. Come on, church, let's sing it. It doesn't matter if it's not Sunday night. Let's worship Him. Come on. Father, we thank You that we are here now, and we are not where we used to be. Thank You for bringing us through. Thank You for carrying us over those things, and getting us through those things. And Father, I thank You. We don't know. None of us know how long we have on this earth, but I'm going to live every day for You. We're going to live every day for you. You are worthy, Lord. You are so worthy. You are so worthy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I pray now, Father, that as we begin to leave this morning, that the people, when they leave, they will know and feel something has changed. Something has shifted. And in this hour of tabernacle, in this day of tabernacle, as we remember your goodness, we know that heaven is open and anything is possible. Those that need a miracle, Father, in this day, you do it for your glory. These are your people and they are so precious to you, Father. Each and every one, you know them by name. You have a plan for them, every one of them. They are yours. They are yours. You paid such a great price for every one of them. And I just pray, Father, as they go, that you would bless them. That the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion with the Spirit go and be with each of you as you leave here today. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ. Let's give him one more clap. Amen. Can we do that? Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.